Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
Praise the Lord. Praise and worship was wonderful. It's always very good. I'm very thankful for it. Amen. Well, Pastor Sharon gave me she told me to tell you that she misses all you guys. Thank y'all for the cards and the flowers and the different things. We just appreciate that. She just appreciated it so much. And she sent this confession today. So I'm going to read the confession she sent over you guys today. And if you receive it, just reach your hands out if you will today. I declare you are believers. You believe the Word of God. You are what the Word says you are. You have what the Word says you have. You can do what the Word says you can do. We render ineffective every negative word you have spoken, every negative thing you have thought, every word and thought that is contrary to the truth of God's Word. I declare from this moment forward you acknowledge only the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. Out of the good treasure of your heart, only good things will come to pass. I declare you are the righteousness of God, a new creation, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. You have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from sickness and disease, poverty and death. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Since the greater one dwells in you, you can overcome every situation. We believe it in our heart and we release it with our mouth. So be it. It will surely come to pass in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. I tell you, I like the confessions that she has for us. Amen. Now, I'm going to, instead of the neighbor looking time that we do sometimes and sometimes we don't, I want to just speak to you just for a minute to let you know, you probably already know this, but I have a certain way that I like to speak. Now, I always try to speak with grace. I don't care what the message is, I don't care if it's a hard message, and sometimes they're very hard. Today it's going to be a hard message. But I'm saying this because my anointing is to say things with grace. It's supposed to be. I'm not saying I've arrived at doing that, but for the most part, that's the way I do it. Other ministers do it different, and I respect how they do it, but you know, I also respect how God gave it to me to do. And so I believe the messages have to be seasoned with grace, and you shouldn't feel ostracized like you're the only one, but the message should be so filled with grace that we all know that we're in the same boat together. Amen? All growing, all learning, all striving together to be the one God has called us to be. Amen? Now, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And I just declare in the name of Jesus, Father God, use me in a new way. Help me to be alert and attentive to your voice. Help me to flow with the Holy Spirit better than ever before. Help your people listen and draw like never before. Father, I just thank you that you've got something for every person that's here and every person that's listening by the way of Facebook or social media. You've got something for every one of us. And I just thank you, Father God, it's imparted to us this day. In Jesus' name, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to start this off, and this is just something that I had years before. And it's Proverbs 28 and 27. You will never go without if you give to the poor. That's an awesome scripture. But the other part of that scripture says, but if you're heartless, stingy, and here's our word, selfish, you invite curses upon yourself. I didn't know that. I've never seen that before. I didn't realize that. So now that was just a little side journey. y'all said I wish y'all said I wish you'd have left that side journey off today. Talking about curses, hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 5, and this is in the Amplified, says, have this same attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. Look to Him as your example in selfless humility. Now, okay. I think I'm going to not give that one. Selfish people are self-absorbed people. And to become more like Jesus will have to become less selfish. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, Philippians 2 and 2, and we're just going to dig down deep. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Now, in verse number 3, that same chapter, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Now, I want you to see I'll dig down deep on this later, but I want you to just see a little bit of this. Our cherished unity in our families and in our church families and in, you know, just in our jobs, pride-filled opinions will only harm your cherished unity. Sometimes we just need to not do that. Amen? Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Now, here's the one that really jumped out at me a couple of weeks ago when I started studying this and meditating it. Philippians 2 and 4. This is in the Passion. Abandon every display of selfishness. I had to really meditate. I'm going to have to switch mics. Can I just switch it? Can I just... Okay, I got this one on. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me now? All right. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. Every display of selfishness. And that one really, I got to thinking about that. There's a lot of areas of selfishness that we don't even identify that they're selfish. I mean, we identify some things. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that sometimes we're all selfish drivers. You know, somebody pulls in front of you and you know, you point your finger or you smile, or hopefully you're only pointing your finger as an index finger. You're being a happy camper, but you're trying to tell them they shouldn't have cut you off in traffic. But sometimes we get to be selfish drivers, you know, and somebody's wanting to get in cut in, and we're like, you ain't getting in, buddy. I saw you pass those five cars to get over here to get in this spot, and ain't a chance in the world you getting in this spot, because I'm going to pull up to this guy's bumper is what I'm going to do. You ain't getting in here. You might get, but the guy that's behind me, you might get in there, but you ain't getting in here. You understand me? That's the way this is. I know. Y'all are laughing because y'all have all done it. We've all done it. What did we just say a minute ago? We're all in the same boat together. Together. That's the thing. So abandon every display of selfishness. So there's a lot of displays of selfishness that we all have, and they're different in each of us, I'm sure. Philippians 2 and 5, in the Amplified again, we did this one in the beginning, have this same attitude which was in Christ Jesus. Look to Him as your example in selfless humility. He's selfless. That's who we should be looking to. Jesus, He humbled Himself, became obedient, you know, took the cross. I mean, selfless. Now, today, as you're hearing this message, don't think about, you know, John Doe needs to hear this today. I'm telling you what, it's on selfishness, and we know he got a bad case of it, and he needs to hear it. I'm going to make sure to tell him to listen to this thing, because he needs it. Or Sally, God knows Sally needs it. No.
It's about us. You know, when we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be pointing fingers and showing, you know, saying, well, you know, so-and-so did such and such, so it was okay for me to do it. When we stand before the Lord, it's going to be about nobody but us. Us and the Lord. So let's focus today on areas of our own lives where we're selfish. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to show each of us our areas of selfishness. Less of me, more of you. I must decrease, he must increase. Now that's going to take a real work of the Holy Spirit in myself. That's a big job. Because many areas of my life, I don't look anything like the Lord in my spirit. Nothing. And the Holy Spirit, wow, he's working overtime on me, trying to get me into that image of Christ, trying to turn me into somebody that's not selfish, but selfless. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says we're transformed into the image, his image, the image of the Lord, from glory to glory. So there's a work, there's a process, there's a timing. It takes time for the Lord to transform us. And so we've got to yield and allow him to do it. Now, he's doing a work on the inside of me. I'm gonna preach to me today, and let y'all take it up, okay? And the work that he's doing inside me, you can't see it, but it hurts so bad. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. I would think that you do, but when the Lord is changing you and showing you areas that you don't line up, it hurts. It hurts us. You talk about the suffering. The suffering is not sickness and disease, because the Lord has nothing to do with sickness and disease on people. But the suffering is in our flesh being transformed in the areas that we need to line up, and that the Holy Spirit is showing us. That's where our suffering is. You know, not, you know, letting the person through in the traffic when our flesh says, uh-uh. Thank you very much. And it hurts our flesh so bad. So even though you may not see it, I'm trying to yield more of what he's trying to do in me. And he's trying to do it in me as I yield to him. But I have so far to go, and it can be discouraging, for I got a long way to go. But the Holy Spirit is still working on me. He is convicting me, not condemning me, but putting his finger on areas of my life that are selfish. Things that I do that aren't like Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals them to me, and it hurts. It hurts so bad. But I want to grow. I want to be more like the Lord. So if I yield, even though I'm hurting, I'll be changed into the image of Christ a little more. But it's so hard on my flesh. My flesh suffers through this. But we have to grow as believers to become unselfish. Unselfish people try to get the attention on God. Selfish people try to get the attention on them. Okay, now I'm gonna dig deeper. If you're selfish, this is areas we don't even consider. If you're selfish in conversation, no matter what is said, you'll direct the conversation to get the attention right back on yourself. The topic has got to go roundabout to you, because it's all about you. Selfish people, it's all about them. I've given this example over and over. There was a man, and I'm not going to tell his name or anything like that. You wouldn't know him anyway. He's a minister. And I was in his car one time. He asked me to go somewhere with him, and I did. And I know y'all could probably tell this story better than me. But I was in the car for a long period of time. He was going somewhere, doing some stuff, and he's sharing things that God has done in his life. He's talking about things, and he's just talking about this and talking about that and how God's blessing his church and just everything. And I couldn't get in a word edgewise. I was in that car for almost 2 hours, and I couldn't get in a word. Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't have a chance to speak. One person talking for an hour or 2 hours straight is not a conversation. It's selfishness. There's a back and forth in conversation. There's an exchange. One of the words, the meanings of conversation is exchange. You're exchanging ideas. You're tossing things back and forth. There's an exchange in a conversation. And if we're growing in Christ, we'll have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. It's not all about us. It's about the Lord and about other people. Amen? Only thinking about ourselves or talking about ourselves is selfishness. Okay, y'all will like this one. The Holy Spirit has a big job with me because I have issues. You say, well, I knew that, Pastor. I've known that for a long time. I've been here however many years, and I know you've got issues. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor has issues. Now, some of y'all like to do that a little too much. And so the Holy Spirit is trying to transform us into the image of Christ. But it's a big job. Now, how often do we think of things that we can do for other people? If we rarely ever think of things that we can do for others, then the truth is we're probably selfish. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, this is in the Message, says love cares more for others than for self. Love isn't always me first. In the Good News translation, it says love is not selfish. In the Amplified Classic, it says love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Sometimes I insist on my own way. Sometimes I'm self-seeking. But love doesn't do that. It doesn't insist on its own way. So what areas in my life am I selfish? And I'm asking you this, and I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us all this. What areas in our lives are we selfish? Because God is continually trying to root selfishness out of our lives by the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, as Chuck said, he has issues. Every one of us has issues. You can look at your neighbor today and you can say, yep, you got issues too. You and Pastor are messed up. You look at your neighbor and you say, you and Pastor, y'all got issues. Boy, y'all need this today. I'm gonna help you out. Well, the truth is we all got issues. And he's doing a work, if we allow him to, on the inside of us. Now, let's dig down a little bit on Philippians 2 and 3 that we said before. Just a portion of the scripture. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they only harm our cherished unity. How many times at work has your opinion about how something should be done, maybe the way you've seen it done before, and the boss is doing it a completely different way, maybe your way is right, but you're sharing that opinion, that pride-filled opinion. The reason, this is the Word of God. I didn't come up with pride-filled opinion. It came up with a pride-filled opinion. It's pride-filled because we have to say it. We feel like we must say it. We must share it, even though it's going to bust the unity. Even though it's going to cause a division in the workplace, because half the people are going to say this is right and half the people are going to say the other way is right. But if we were peacemakers the way the Lord wants us to, sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling us, hush, hush, don't share your opinion this time, because you're going to inject division in this. People have shared their selfish, prideful opinions, and churches have split and churches have dissolved. You say, well, but I was right. I should have shared that. I know I heard a man say there was a man ministering, and the pastor of a certain church was ministering, and this man did not agree with what the man was ministering, and he marched his little self down the aisle while the man is ministering and attempts to argue with him while he is ministering the Word of God. I'm glad he didn't do it here, because I would have threw him out. Amen. Whether the ushers did it or I did it, but somebody going to throw him out. Because he's totally out of order, and it's totally a pride-filled opinion. What if he's wrong? And he very much was wrong, because the spirit he was doing it in was wrong. Can you see it? Yes. You don't do that. Hang on. We got different denominations, different belief systems. I don't go in a denominational church and knock the way they believe or want to argue with them about the way they believe and argue with, well, you don't speak in tongues and we do. Big whoop. You don't walk in love like you should. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, because walking in love, you would just let it go. You don't have to share your pride-filled opinions about everything, because they get us in trouble and they break the cherished unity on our jobs, in our churches, in our families. We have to share our pride-filled opinions. You know, okay, I'm stirred up a little bit. I had somebody that used to go here years ago, no longer here. That's okay. And they kind of cornered me after one of the services. They said, "I don't like it that you don't get into politics in your sermons. I don't like that at all, because there's a lot going on in the world and you should be doing politics." I said, "Maybe there are some people that are called that way, but I'm not." And unless the Lord changes that, I'm not saying the Lord can't change it. I'm not speaking for the Lord for eternity, but at this point, I'm not supposed to, because it'll bust the cherished unity that we have because of the different beliefs that'll come in. I don't want anybody from this pulpit speaking about politics. I don't want it. I won't allow it. If you do, it'll be the last time you speak, because I won't allow it. Why? Because we're not called to that way right now. I'm not saying we ain't ever going to be called. I give the Lord and the Holy Ghost the... There's so much division that can happen through stuff like that. Because we have strong opinions, strong, deeply rooted opinions, but we don't have to share them with everybody. Our families, it shouldn't be a... You know it's going to be a fight when you're at your dinners or whatever, because of the opinions being so... Pray and take authority over the spirits that are not of God before you ever go there, and pray and take authority over your own mouth, that you don't have to share everything. You don't have to divide. We're peacemakers. Keep the peace. Let the peace and harmony be there. We don't have to speak. Your opinion may be well right. Keep it to yourself as the Holy Spirit tells you to. This is good preaching. Y'all may not realize it, because you may not have ever heard good preaching. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. But our flesh, it wants to get in there, and we got to say what we got to say, come hell or high water. We don't care what it causes, what kind of division happens from it, what kind of fallout there is, who is hurt. It doesn't matter, because we have our opinion about this, and we're going to let people know our opinion, because our opinion is right. I don't know, many times I thought I was right, I was wrong. I was handling a situation the other day on the phone, and I realized there's been times that I wouldn't have handled it this way. And I had got this bill, and it was like it was almost a year late. And they sent me this bill, and I was kind of upset about it. But I said, you know, I talked to myself, and I got myself in a spiritual frame of mind before I called them. And I said, no, you're gonna deal the way you're supposed to deal, in kindness. You're going to speak in kindness. You're going to talk in kindness. This person don't even know what's going on. They're just trying to facilitate help on this thing. I explained to them the problem, and they said, can't help you. You're going to have to call your insurance company, and they'll take care of it. I said, this is not an insurance matter, and I have actually already paid this bill. And they said, nope, you're going to have to call the insurance company. And it kind of kept going on an endless loop. And I said, I'm not here. And my tone was right. And sometimes my tone ain't right. Sometimes my tone gets all crazy. And then when my tone gets crazy, I can't even talk. They don't even have no idea what I'm talking about, because I'm talking like Mickey Mouse, because my tone done went up, and now I'm all crazy. You know what? Mickey Mouse's ears done flared back. This is nuts. And I just kept saying, it's okay. I believe there's been an oversight. And then, nope. And then I said, okay, I have one question. I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this question. I said, why, if what you're saying is right, and I don't believe it is, but because I remember paying this bill. I said, okay, why is it a year, or almost a year, before I'm getting this, and you're saying you've contacted me over and over about it, and this is the first correspondence. How did that happen? And they said, well, our computer system's been down, and they've been working on it for over 6 months. I was like, here we go. And then the lady said, and I was still nice. I didn't say, aha. You know, your flesh wants to. Prideful opinions. I'm right. I didn't know. See, we want to tell people we're right, and they were wrong. That's pride. Anyway, she said, can I put you on hold for a minute? I said, take your time. I said, I appreciate your help, and I mean that from my heart. It's not just hypocrisy or a statement that I say. I do appreciate her help. And then she came back on. She said, it's going to take a little bit longer. Can I put you on hold again? I said, certainly. And there again, I appreciate what you're trying to do. So she came back and she said, somebody started another account that works here, and it's for you. And it was me when I had paid the bill. And the amount of money in that is like a credit for the exact amount of this bill. And she said, and I can see that's exactly what it is. This bill was paid, just like you said, like all that time ago. Now, if I'd have got all crazy with my pride-filled opinions, even though I was right, because I'm not always right, you understand, I wouldn't have got the favor. It hinders favor when we get all crazy. Can you see that? So we have to be selfless, even if we think we're right. You know, we want to say, I told you so bad. But you know, that's flesh. Thank you very much. And the Holy Spirit will just try to constrain us instead of throwing gasoline on the fire with our pride-filled opinions. He'll say, hush and pray. Hush, pray. Okay. Put others first. Stingy people. I'm not going to dig down on this. They're selfish people. They're very selfish. I didn't have to tell you that. You already knew that. View others as more important than yourselves. That's the scriptures. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. God put us here on this earth to learn to live unselfish. Philippians 2 and 3. I'm not sure. I think this is either the Amplified or the Message. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude. Here we go. An attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. See, selfishness is an attitude. Selflessness is an attitude. Selflessness is true humility. I don't know, a lot of y'all will remember him. He died a couple of years ago. Chester. I don't know if y'all realize that. I mean, if you were ever around Chester, there's one defining characteristic that stood out in Chester. He had a selflessness about him, wanting to serve in any area. This wasn't even his home church. He had a home church that he went to, and they didn't have services like on Sunday night, and a lot of times they didn't on the Wednesday night for a period of time there. And anytime they didn't have services, he was here, him and Mary. And but we're having dinners and stuff. He's out there in the serving line. I mean, I'm thinking somebody must have asked him. No, he asked to be in that serving line. He asked to help out. Everywhere you could look, he was asking to help out somewhere, because that's what fulfilled him. That's who he was. That's what the work that the Lord had done in his life. Amen. I love it. I admired it. Philippians 2 and 5 in the Amplified again. Have this same attitude in yourself, attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. So that attitude of selflessness, through a lot of practice, you and I can develop that attitude in ourselves. But we must surrender, we must yield, we must humble ourselves, and allow the Holy Spirit to work selfishness out of us on whatever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on. I don't know, in my life, he puts his finger on a lot of stuff. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with everything he's putting his finger on. But truthfully, I've got grace for whatever he's putting his finger on at the time. Because thankfully, he doesn't put his finger on everything at the same time. That would be overwhelming. There's no way we could survive that. Amen? So, let's say this again. We become unselfish by practicing being unselfish. The doing of a thing creates the desire to do the thing. A lot of marriages have ended in divorce, and the root reason is selfishness. Only being concerned about our own selfish interest. We must develop unselfishness. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work it in us. Philippians 2 and 4, I know I've said it before and I'll say it again. Abandon every display of selfishness. Man, that hurts, don't it? I mean, every display. We've all got displays. Maybe you say, well, no, I don't. No, they're in your pocket. And you're not careful, they'll jump out of that pocket. Thank you. Thank you very much. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. Somebody posted this about Christmas time. It was on Facebook. Carrie McLean had posted. I'll try to give, you know, dibs to whoever posted something. It says, less me, less pride, less anger, less drama, less gossip, less bitterness, less complaining, less selfishness, more Jesus. Isn't that good? The question is, are we living for God or for ourselves? Is Jesus the center of our life? So these scriptures are telling us, forget about yourself. Get yourself off your mind. Now, yeah, that's the problem right there. So many people in the body of Christ, they can't get self off their mind. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe. But God sees an image of me in Christ that is totally unselfish. You say, Pastor, I ain't never seen that. That's right, because it doesn't exist yet. But the Lord is looking at the end from the beginning. I am not at that place. But the Lord, that's the way He sees me. He sees me as an unselfish person, totally unselfish, because of the work of the Holy Spirit that He does. I know that'll be when I'm dead that I'll be totally unselfish. And when you're dead, you'll be totally unselfish. But He's wanting us to allow the Holy Spirit to work on those areas while we're alive and become more like Christ. Ephesians 3 and 20 in the Message. I've never seen it in this message before like this. I like it. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around. God doesn't force us, but by working within us. His Spirit, get this, deeply and gently within us. He's working deeply and gently within us. Puts His finger on stuff. It's not condemnation. It's just conviction. Here's an area I'm bringing to light. I want you to change this. I'm asking you to change this. I'll help you. It won't be something you do by yourself. I will help you change. So God is doing a work in me and in all of us that we can't see, each other can't see. I heard Joyce Meyer talk about her and Dave. She's always talking about different things about her and Dave. And she said her and Dave went to the mall, and they went to a store that sells pictures and stuff. And they went in this store, and they want a picture for their house. And she said, of course, Dave doesn't have good taste. That was her words. That wasn't my words. She said, He wants something that's completely different than the design for the room that we've got, where I want things that are just perfectly in line with everything in that room, and Dave wants it to pop. So that's the thing that you see. And she said, we were going round and round because he wanted one picture and I wanted another picture. And we're going round and round about which picture we get. And finally, Dave got tired of the round and round about it, and he said, okay, Joyce, do whatever you want to do. And he walked off. She got that picture. She's walking down the mall. She said she's feeling good. She said she got her way. And she's so, you know, getting your way, that's like a temporary high. Yeah. But then you come down when you realize, said the Holy Spirit spoke to her and says, it's not what you think, Joyce. She said, huh? He said, you didn't go about it right. You just pushed to get your way. But that's not what you should have done. Selfish. In our relationships with one another, this is Philippians 2 and 5 again, different version, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In Philippians 2 and 3, this is the International Children's Bible, when you do things, do not let, I love this, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. How many times have I done stuff and I've allowed selfishness or pride be my guide? Be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Now, you say, well, how am I going to apply this to my life? You're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask Him to show you the areas that you are selfish in, and ask Him to show you what you can do to overcome this. What can I do? The doing of the thing creates the desire to do the thing. And there again, Philippians 2 and 4, and this is, I'm just reading the scripture for the last time, and then Deborah will come. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.